inquisitive. Be nosy. Stick to your passion. Find out more for yourself. Quest is fun. Join me, Tristan Pang, on a journey of inspiration. Welcome to Youth Voices. Hello, everyone. Welcome to my show. This is your host, Tristan Pang, on Planet FM 104.6, Youth Voices. Great to have your company. Today, I'm going to share with you an interesting and important concept which seems complicated at first, but in fact is something you can see everywhere. It's emergent theory. The basic idea is that you have certain systems in the world, and when you look at them, you can't understand them just by understanding how the individual pieces interact. Still don't get it? Don't worry. I'll explain a little more for you.
Have you ever experienced this? Both pedestrians make opposite choices when passing, and an embarrassing standoff or collision occurs. However, when there's a large crowd walking in different directions, this embarrassing situation seldom happens. To understand why, we have to take a look at the theory of emergence.
Emergence occurs when the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Or in other words, how a bunch of ordinary elements do smart things together. How small things form bigger things. Or how simplicity becomes complexity. Emergence is everywhere, from bird flocking and fish schooling, to the assembly of atoms and cells, to the Big Bang and the formation of galaxies, stars and planets. All these exhibit emergent behavior from individuals following simple rules without center coordination of leadership. Let's look at a classic example of emergence, ant colonies. There's no individual ant telling everyone what to do, but instead they follow a rule set that produces order through chaos. Each ant reacts to chemical scents from other ants. Thus, despite the lack of centralized decision-making, ant colonies exhibit complex behaviors and have even demonstrated the ability to solve geometric problems. Back to the example at the start of the video. Over time, there's emergence of a social norm in crowds with a mixture of individual biases. Let's explain this emergent phenomenon in a scientific manner.
This paper by Nicholas Morton and Professor Sean Hendy investigates this phenomenon using mathematical models. The variables used were the variance of walking speed and the attentiveness of pedestrians, trying to find whether emergence will occur. Here, we have that everyone has a high variance in walking speed and was inattentive, for example, on their phones or reading a book. There's no order created, or in other words, no emergence. Next, take people who have similar walking speeds and are attentive to those around them. Then we get two neat lines of people passing each other, thus the emergence of a social norm. Now, here's an interesting scenario when groups of people change their preferences, thus changing everyone's passing side. This is all summarized in this final image. On the x-axis, we have the variance, and the y-axis, we have the attentiveness. The first scenario is in this region, the second here, and the third here. So, what does this mean? The pedestrians are trying to anticipate what others will do. And it is this that creates non-linearity that leads to emergence. A norm emerges so that pedestrians can correctly anticipate how other pedestrians will move.
Such situations may arise, for example, when people mix at a large sporting event or at train stations. Groups of humans with no external factors tend to produce order rather than meaningless chaos.
There is still a lot unknown in our universe yet to be discovered. But one thing for certain is, everything and every phenomenon, big and small, are collectively made up of a lot of individuals. This is why we have to understand the theory of emergence. It's a theory that explains everything. It is the most beautiful property of our universe.
And here's a video I found from a YouTube channel, Kurzgesagt, in a nutshell. They explained it clearly about the ant colony in emergence. The video is titled, How Stupid Things Become Smarter Together.
An ant is pretty stupid. It doesn't have much of a brain, no will, no plan. And yet, many ants together are smart. An ant colony can construct complex structures. Some colonies keep farms of fungi. Others take care of cattle. They can wage war or defend themselves. How is this possible? How can a bunch of stupid things do smart things together? This phenomenon is called emergence, and it's one of the most fascinating and mysterious features of our universe. In a nutshell, it describes small things forming bigger things that have different properties than the sum of their parts. Emergence is complexity arising from simplicity, and emergence is everywhere. Water has vastly different properties to the molecules that make it up. like the concept of wetness. Take wet fabric. If you zoom in far enough, there is no wetness. There are just molecules sitting in the spaces between the atoms of the cloth. Wetness is an emerging property of water. Something new, only created by a lot of individual interactions between water molecules. And this is sort of it. Many things interact under a certain set of rules, creating something above and beyond themselves. It turns out that more is different. This different property is itself a new thing, and that new thing can couple with other new things to repeat the process. You can imagine this as layers stacked upon each other, every layer made from more complex parts. Atoms form molecules. Molecules form proteins. Proteins make up cells. Cells make up organs. Organs form individuals. Individuals form societies. But how can something be more than the sum of its parts? How do ants form the sort of cloudy entity that is a colony? By following a rule set that produces order through chaos. For example, let's look at how an ant colony distributes jobs. Let's assume that a colony should have 25% workers, 25% caretakers, 25% soldiers, and 25% gatherers. Ants communicate their current job via chemicals. For example, a worker ant constantly secretes chemicals that say, "I'm a worker." When ants meet other ants, they smell each other to gather information, telling each other their job and what they're doing. Both keep track of who they met in the past. Now, imagine an anteater kills most of the gatherers. If this isn't fixed quickly, the colony will starve. Many worker ants need to switch jobs, but how do you tell this to thousands of them? Simple. You don't. Our worker ant will still meet and smell other ants, but it will encounter almost no gatherers at all. It counts too few gatherers until it reaches a critical point, and then it changes its job. The worker becomes a gatherer. Other ants will do the same until after a while there are enough gatherers again. The balance is restored all by itself. The actions and interactions of an individual are random. You can't plan which ant will encounter which other ant. But the simple set of rules is so elegant that a colony's many operations emerge as a consequence. On an even more fundamental level, hundreds of millions of complicated molecules interact to maintain a robust and amazing structure. A being with vastly different properties than the sum of its dead parts emerges. The smallest unit of life, a cell. We still don't have a clear definition of what living things are, we just know they emerge from things that are not alive. Cells combine and cooperate. They specialize and respond to one another, and over time, we develop into complex organisms with remarkable capacities. Your arms and legs and heart are an incredibly complex and complicated system made of trillions of individual stupid things. And yet we breathe, digest, and watch YouTube videos. How do your cells know what to do? Think of the pacemaker cells in your heart. Billions of them need to send out an impulse just at the right moment to collectively create a heartbeat. Our cells exchange chemical information with their neighbor cells to see what they're up to and then decide what to do. If it's among a lot of cells that are working on the same task, it will start working on that task as well and sync up with them. There is no mastermind giving commands, just single units communicating with their neighbors and acting according to the feedback they get. What about our most important part? What is the thing that asks these kinds of questions? Is our consciousness then an emergent property of the cells in our brain? This question is too big and important. It deserves a video of its own. Some things that emerge are hard to define. You can't touch an ant colony, only its parts. It has neither brain, nor face, nor body. And yet the colony interacts with the world. Just like colonies emerge from ants, things emerge from humans, like nations. What actually is a nation? Is it its population? Is it its institutions? Its symbols like its flag, colors, or anthems? The physical things it makes like cities? The territory it occupies? All of these things are fluid. Populations change and are replaced. Institutions come and go, cities can be constructed and abandoned. borders have changed all the time for most of history. And symbols get replaced by new symbols. A nation has no face, no brain, no body. Are nations not real then? Of course they are. Just like ant colonies, nations interact with the world. They can change landscapes, wage wars, grow or decline, and they can stop existing. But they only exist because of a lot of humans interacting with each other. But not just nations. All the complex structures that surround us emerge from us. Even if we don't intend to, we are constantly creating communities, companies, cities, societies. All of these things are entities that have fundamentally different properties and abilities than the pretty stupid apes they emerged from. We don't know why any of this happens. We just observe it, and it seems to be a fundamental property of our universe. It may be the most beautiful and wondrous property of our universe.
And before we go, let's listen to a few great stories which were shared by my previous featured guests and myself. Hope you enjoy them. Let's be inspired. Now, Alex would like to share with us an inspiring story.
It is the little things that make a big difference. From living3.com by Ronald. There was a man taking a morning walk at the beach. He saw that along with the morning tide came hundreds of starfish, and when the tide receded, they were left behind, and with the morning sun rays, they would die. The tide was fresh and the starfish were alive. The man took a few steps, picked one, and threw it into the water. He did that repeatedly. Right behind him, there was another person who couldn't understand what this man was doing. He caught up with him and asked, "What are you doing?" "There are hundreds of starfish. How many can you help? What difference does it make?" This man did not reply, took two more steps, picked up another one, threw it into the water, and said, "It makes a big difference to this one."
Puppies for sale from wealthygorilla.com. A shop owner placed a sign above his door that says, "Puppies for sale." Signs like this always have a way of attracting young children, and to no surprise, a boy saw the sign and approached the owner. "How much are you going to sell the puppies for?" he asked. The store owner replied, "Anywhere from $30 to $50. The little boy pulled out some change from his pocket. "I have $2.37, he said. "Can I please look at them?" The shop owner smiled and whistled. Out of the kennel came Lady, who ran down the aisle of his shop, followed by five teeny tiny balls of fur. One puppy was lagging considerably behind. Immediately, the little boy singled out the lagging, limping puppy and said, "What's wrong with that little dog?" The shop owner explained that the vet had examined the little puppy and had discovered it didn't have a hip socket. It would always limp. It would always be lame. The little boy became excited. "That is the puppy that I want to buy." The shop owner said, "No, you don't want to buy that little dog. If you really want him, I'll just give it to you." The little boy then got upset. He looked straight into the store owner's eyes, pointing his finger, and said, "I don't want you to give him to me. That little dog is worth every bit as much as the other dogs, and I'll pay the full price. In fact, I'll give you $2.37 now, and 50 cents a month until I have paid for him." The shop owner countered, "You don't want to buy this little dog. He's never going to be able to run, jump, and play with you like the other puppies." To his surprise, the little boy reached down and rolled up his leg pants to reveal a badly twisted, crippled left leg supported by a big metal brace. He looked up at the shop owner and softly replied, "Well, I don't run so well myself, and the little puppy will need someone who understands." That's it from me, Tristan Pang. Thanks for listening, and I welcome your feedback and your support of the program. So please email me at youthvoicesnz@gmail.com or visit my website www.questisfun.org.nz. That's quest-is-fun.org.nz/youthvoices. See you next time. Bye. Join join me again for another exciting program next month on the first Wednesday at 2:10 p.m. or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/youthvoices or listen to the archive on my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices.